Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott, Episode 5, for November 10th, 2006, Shiny Happy Vista. It's time to head once again into the world, the shining, delicious, aeroglass world of Windows Vista with our friend Paul Thurrott from the super site for Windows and Windows IT Pro. And Paul has had a busy day today. Actually, we're recording this a couple of days before the published date. And today's the day, right?
Yes, it is.
Windows is done.
And now my work begins.
So November 8th, Microsoft. What is the process? What happens?
Right. So I would imagine they actually technically released the product to manufacturing a little earlier than today, but they announced it today. And, historically what this means is they literally take a golden master, which basically means it's a CD, or in this case a DVD, that they burn with the final version of the product. And of course, in the old days, these CDRs were always gold, so they call it a golden master. And they ship it off to the manufacturing plants that make the DVDs that people will install, and the DVDs that PC makers will use to hand out their copies of Vista to other people, and also to the download sites that partners and volume licensed customers use.
Is there a ceremony of any kind? Do they have a briefcase with a handcuff on it? I mean, is it just some guy goes down to the mailroom and pops it in the mail?
I think there's chicken blood. I don't know. Yeah, the Windows XP launch, they had a big outdoor event, or the RTM event, I should say. This one, I don't know. They had a phone call, and it was a little more subdued. But I think part of it was, this thing took so long to come to fruition. I think they were afraid to party publicly quite yet.
I've heard the phrase "out of escrow." Is that what we're talking about here?
Right, right. So a release candidate build that is considered literally a candidate for the final build is held in escrow for a time period, which means that they basically put it aside to let people hammer it and look for bugs. And assuming it passes through this phase without any major bugs, for a certain amount of time, it can then come out of escrow and be declared RTM.
They still, by the way, have these bug hunt parties, I understand. Email from a guy at Microsoft. They call them bug bashes. In fact, yeah. Zune just had its bug bash.
Okay,
ice cream, pizza, pastries, espresso bar, and cash prizes. They had it on the Friday before I went on the cruise.
Yeah, how quaint.
I don't know if they did a bug bash for... I remember, there's a wonderful book, and I'm sure you've read it.
Showstopper.
Showstopper, yeah.
Oh, that's the best. I've read that book again and again. And
it's the story of Windows NT.
Yes, the original version of NT. So Dave Cutler and Dave Thompson and Mark Lukowski and all those guys. And it's an amazing story.
We actually had on TWiT the guy who wrote Showstopper. And
oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean, he had full access to the NT team while they were doing it. And, of course, the title comes from a showstopper, a bug so bad that it stops the show.
That's right. I people in this industry, people look up to people like Bill Gates and, Steve Jobs on the Apple side. But I have to say, for me personally, and Showstoppers actually has a lot to do with this, the people I look up to are those technical types like Dave Cutler.
Yeah.
And Mark Lukowski, those guys were on the original NT team. And I've actually had the chance to meet a few of those guys. And it was just, to me, those are the rock stars,
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're the guys who do the work. Greg Zachary is the author of that, by the way. G. Pascal, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y. And it's still in print. and highly, you know, well worth reading. It's like The Soul of the New Machine. It's just one of those classics the story of how something. I hope somebody did this for Vista. What a story that would be.
Yeah, I actually entertained doing this for Vista 5 years ago when I didn't going to be such a big thing. But I think there are interesting stories to be told. And based on my own experience just talking to guys in the build labs, and they have war rooms and so forth, there's this awesome stories inside of Microsoft. And you know, hopefully that stuff will get out someday.
I bet. It's really exciting. Do you know what the final hours were like? Has anybody told you if there were any showstoppers, if there was any drama at the end?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. So there was definitely drama. You know, we had talked a few weeks back about how they originally were targeting October 25th, but Jim Alchin had written an email saying, look, we could actually drag this thing out until November 8th, which, of course, they ultimately did, by sacrificing languages and so forth. And they knew they were going to miss October 25th, probably halfway through October, if I remember correctly. But in the last couple of weeks, they had thought that they had settled on a final build, and they pushed it out over a weekend. And what they discovered was that everyone who tried to upgrade from XP suddenly, mysteriously, could not upgrade from XP. And in fact, it would break the system. They'd have to reinstall everything.
That would be a showstopper.
That would be a showstopper. That, in fact, was a showstopper. So that pushed things back a little bit. And
yeah, holy
as you would
cow.
As you would expect. So that's what we call a regression.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I presume they fixed all of that.
Yes, they did.
What's the final bug count?
You know, that I don't know. But I do know the final build number, if I can find it. It is.
You said last time it would be 6,000. Did they actually do that?
Yes, they did. Yeah, 6,000. Yeah, so the build that we that they RTM today was actually first built on November 1st. So that's how long it was in escrow for a week. So there you go.
It must be the pressure for the team must be very intense. How many people are involved in the Vista team, the actual kind of development team? Do you have any idea?
It's got to be several thousand people.
Thousand?
Right? Yeah.
Whoa.
Absolutely. I mean, remember that, you know, Windows and Office probably combined to make most of Microsoft's actual income, not revenues, but actual income. And I don't know what the employee base in Redmond is, probably over 30,000 these days. Right. I bet close to half of that is involved with Windows in some way.
By the way, speaking of Office, they also went gold on Office, whatever they're calling it, 2007, at the same, pretty much the same time, it sounds like.
Just a couple of days earlier. Actually, I can't tell you who told me this, but somebody from the Office team, and this was meant to be humorous, not snide, but told me, you will not be surprised to discover that we are RTMing before Windows Vista.
Not much before.
Right. Well, you know, but they weren't in development for as long either.
Do you think that maybe there was a little internal rivalry between the teams to see who could RTM first?
There's absolutely an internal rivalry, and I think the way it exposed itself this time around wasn't so much in the length of development per se, but rather that Office originally was supposed to be only for Windows Vista. And then it was going to have special Windows Vista features. And as it stands today in the final version, it literally is identical between Windows Vista and Windows XP. They basically pulled everything out. And I think that was just a sort of a vote of no confidence in some ways, you know, for Vista. I mean, Office is a little more pragmatic when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, you don't want to ship something that can't run on the current operating system. And if Vista didn't come out in time, they would have really had some trouble. So, but the good news is they're both coming out.
Right. Right. And Office, you know, it's funny, you know, we discussed this a little bit, I think, on the first show. I mean, Windows Vista is a fantastic upgrade. We'll talk about this in a little bit. But, you know, there's always some qualification there, right? Because it's not perfect. But Office 2007 is fantastic. It's really just a really, again, exciting. As strange as that sounds, it's an exciting release, and it's really just a great product.
That's an interesting statement. You're more excited, it sounds like, over the new Office than you are over the new operating system.
Yeah, and you know, it's part of it is kind of the depth of familiarity thing. I mean, I've been using Vista for a long time, so it's hard for me to get jazzed at this point. I look at, you know, the translucencies and the effects, and I think, okay, you know, whatever. But often...
whatever.
there, you know. Well, Mac has had this stuff for a long time. I mean, it's not really new to me, but, you know, Office 2007, I still find myself just smiling, you know, when I run into something that I never knew how to do before. I mean, I find new to me, you know, features in the product all the time. I love it.
Well, in a way, I think that's how consumers are, too. I mean, the operating system, if it does its job, is really kind of transparent. It's the applications that are key. That's what you get the work done in. So right. I can understand you're being more excited about the tool than the toolbox.
Exactly. And it makes reviewing Windows Vista hard. I wrote about this in the first part of my review. I said, you know, I've been living in this thing for so long. It's hard to step back and look at it objectively. I have to remind myself, this is new to people, you know. This is going to be interesting to people. You know, for me, it's just kind of the way it's been for a while. But
How long have you been using Vista as your primary operating system?
Well, yeah. So most of this year, at the very least. But, I mean, I've had Vista on dual boot, you know, for 3 years more.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, a long time.
Wow. And are you disappointed with how it came out? I mean, looking back 3 years, the promise of what Vista could have been, do you feel like it's lived up to its promise?
I can't tell you that. No, you're ruining my review, Leo. No, that's a tough one because, yes, there's no doubt that in some ways it is a little disappointing. And again, I want to be careful about this because it is a huge Windows release. There are major new features, you know, excellent security, on and on and on. I mean, I was going through the review and just, you know, shooting through the whole list of features. It's astonishing how much is in there. But in that massive 8-part retrospective of the development of Windows Vista that I was writing and finished while you were away last week, I also
Bravo.
Had to... Well, yeah, it's longer than anything I've ever written except for one book. You know, it's big. And it is astonishing how many times they dropped features from this product. You know, it's just astonishing. And there's actually a whole other category of features that were supposed to be unique to Windows Vista, but they ultimately decided to bring them down level to Windows XP. And listen, I completely understand why they're doing that. It makes a lot of sense. There are hundreds of millions of people running Windows XP, but it also sort of waters down that list of things you can look at and say, this is what makes Vista special.
Right. Yeah. What are some of the features that made it into XP before Vista came out?
Well, Internet Explorer 7 is an obvious one. Windows Defender. You know, a lot of the what is now called the .NET Framework 3.0, it used to be called WinFX programming libraries, the Avalon and Indigo APIs for web services and presentation and so forth. And a lot of this stuff, well, actually falls into two categories. You know, there are sort of developer-oriented tools like RSS subsystem, for example, where they originally were going to make this a big part of Windows Vista, but developers wanted it on the volume platform. You know, 400 million people are using Windows XP. They want to hit those customers. So they had to bring that stuff down level. And then there are other ones that are just, you know, features. You know, for example, that new sidebar is supposed to be ported to Windows XP.
Really?
And that's a feature I actually have not seen an XP version of in quite some time. They'd given me a version of it back in January, and I've been actually meaning to catch up with those guys to see if that's still in the plans, but obviously, developers are going to create the gadgets or widgets or whatever they are that go in the sidebar. They'd be more apt to do it if XP users could access them as well. So that's just sort of the reality of the market, I think.
Any estimates from Microsoft or others about how many people will switch to Vista and how quickly? I mean,
yeah.
More and more, I'm thinking people are going to kind of wait to make the change, especially if a lot of the features you're looking for are in XP.
Right. Yes. So again, you're ruining my review, but I will say that
this is just a tease.
That's okay. Actually, if we talk enough, I won't have to write the rest of the review. That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll just put the we'll transcribe the recording and you're done.
I'll just talk through it. So, So Jim Altshin came out a couple of weeks back, if I recall, and he said that within a few years, it'd be at least a couple of 100 million people running Windows Vista. Now, the big question is going to be how quickly businesses adopt this product. And I guess I would say that they're selling it primarily on security. And I don't think that enterprises especially are really listening to that per se. But that's not specific to Windows Vista. I mean, big business has always upgraded on their own schedule. That schedule has nothing to do with Microsoft's schedule. So I think this is the point where they will start evaluating it. And, you know, it will trickle in over time. I mean, Windows XP didn't hit it off big in enterprises originally. But today, you know, Windows XP is pretty much all there is.
Yeah, it seemed to me that adoption of XP was actually fairly slow compared to adoption of, say, 2000 or NT.
It absolutely was. That's true.
So what are the dates now? Are we getting some dates here?
Yeah, so it was released to manufacturing today. Sometime in the next 7 days, Microsoft will release this, the RTM version to its MSDN and TechNet subscription programs. And these are the programs you pay, you know, upwards of $1,000 a year to subscribe to either for developers or IT folk, depending on the program we're talking about. And this will just give them early access to those bits. And then on November 30th, Microsoft is having a launch event for the business versions of the product. So Windows Vista, also Office 2007 and Exchange 2007 are launching on the 30th. And Microsoft has said that on or before November 30th, they will allow their volume license customers, the people who are on Software Assurance, to download Windows Vista and begin deploying it internally.
And their trusted podcasting partners.
Exactly. I actually paused the download of the final version to do this podcast.
Wait a minute. You have a secret back door?
Well, it's not so secret anymore, Leo, but yes, I do. So the version that I used for my review is actually two builds back from the final version. Functionally identical, visually identical, but they have, they're allowing...
I'm sure they lock the features and the appearance well before they actually go gold, just so that that's not going to change. Now they're just looking for bugs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Is there a speed improvement? You know, Security Now came out yesterday, and Steve and I were talking about Vista. Actually, I think that's going to come out next week, but we were talking about Vista. I won't tip his hand like I've tipped yours, but he was complaining a little bit that the RC2 build that he was using seemed a little bit slow, even on what would nominally be a fast machine. Will the final release be faster? Is there debugging code slowing down the earlier releases?
Yes. So I spoke to Microsoft last week about the RTM version. And one of the things that they told me was that in addition to some fit and finish stuff, that people should see performance improvements. And they said that the performance improvements weren't necessarily architectural in nature. You know, they didn't go find some, oh, look, here's a randomly executing loop we never saw before, nothing like that. But they've done some tweaks and things, and it certainly does appear peppy and so forth. And you know, they've prettied it up. I mean, there are brand new icons now throughout the system, which are really kind of nice looking and have that glass look to them. The other thing I noticed, and I know this is going to sound like sort of an odd side comment, but I recently bought a monitor for a secondary PC for my son, and it has that kind of glossy, shiny, you know, coat that screen have now. The screen is much smaller than the one that I use, but it's shiny. And Windows Vista on that machine is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there's just something special about it.
It's the shiny, happy operating system.
There is something to it with this glass thing. When you've got it on that shiny LCD, it really is. It's really attractive.
It should look great on my MacBook then.
Absolutely right. Well, right. So I have the same kind of screen on my MacBook, and you kind of notice.
Of course, I can't run the Aero Glass on it, so.
If you dual booted.
Yes, that's right. I could always do that. So Aero Glass does run on things like the slower motherboard video that we have on that MacBook, the Intel GMA 950.
That's correct.
I think Intel did that on purpose, didn't they? They kind of found out what the minimum requirements would be and made sure the 950 did it.
They worked with Microsoft on that one. And I actually just found out that there's an I want to say AMD, but it's actually NVIDIA integrated chipset that now also supports Glass. So you can get it on virtually any and I would think going forward.
So November 30th, the business launch, not only of Vista, but Office 2007 and Exchange 2007. That's really for partners, though, isn't it? That's for people who are considering it for, you know, large installations, you know, 10,000 seats, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. So
can a small business, for instance, say, hey, I'm a business. Can I get a copy?
No. maybe. You would have to be part of the software assurance program. And I think that I don't know the exact requirements for that. But I do know that to get discounts on Microsoft products, you know, you need to buy five or more instances of a product. And I don't think that that qualifies you for SA necessarily. But certainly within the next couple of months, I mean, I think anyone who wants it will be able to get their hands on it.
And then when is the actual release to consumers? When can I buy a machine with Vista pre-installed?
So that's going to start on January 30th. And they're still not saying where the launch event's going to be, because on presumably on that date, they're going to have a big event. And I know they're having a big event. I just assume it's on that date. They won't tell me where it is or whatever, but they're going to check, make sure the climate is okay, you know, if there isn't anything serious in the world.
Make sure the climate is okay?
Well, you wouldn't want, you know, imagine if there were, you know, a terrorist attack or something.
Oh, I see. This global security.
I don't mean the climate like the weather.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I remember the Windows 95 launch event, which was the last launch event I went to. It just shows you how long it's been. And it was tents and events and Bill spoke. And then they had satellite events that you could go to, too, where you'd see Bill on a big screen. And do you think they'll do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. I think this is going to be something very much along those lines.
It's been 5 years.
It's been, yeah.
Probably got a lot of money in that launch kitty.
Exactly. They've been the Windows Me launch didn't cost anything.
No.
So
Well, I think what they've done is they've got a Steve Ballmer swear jar, and just over 5 years, it's collected some big loot.
Jeez. There you go.
You see what I'm saying? So I know that there are a lot of people listening, and I'm going to include myself in that. You know, for instance, I'm leading a Vista cruise with Geek Cruises on February 3rd, 4 days after, and I really want to get a machine with the real Windows Vista on it. I'm just not going to be able to November 30th. Is there any loophole? I know all the people listening are saying, well, I want to get it now. It's done. Why can't I get it now?
Right. Well, according to Microsoft, and I'm you know, I'm not saying that this is true necessarily, although it sounds reasonable. Months and months ago, when they established this schedule, I think it was back in March, when they first brought up, you know, we're gonna RTM this thing on October 25th, we're gonna ship it to businesses in November, and we're gonna ship it to consumers in January. Clearly, when you make a decision like that, you know you're gonna miss the Christmas season, right? So, why would you do such a thing? You know, wouldn't you kill yourself to make Christmas, you know, the holiday selling season?
Boy, I mean, you're done. They could put it out in 2 weeks.
Well. Here's the problem. One of the concerns that Microsoft had, you know, they voiced to me just last week, was that they're going to hand this build out to reviewers, and people are going to install it, and they're going to connect all their devices, and what they're going to find is that, you know, most applications work pretty well. Most hardware works pretty well, but there'll be that scanner that someone has that never works, the printer that doesn't work, you know, the joystick or whatever it might be. And the reason is that the people who make the hardware drivers for these devices have pledged to show up with this stuff between now and January 30th.
So this is really their 2 months to get that stuff working.
And according to Microsoft, and this is not my, you know, Microsoft has said this publicly, but also I've seen internal documentation to this effect. You know, they actually asked Microsoft not to ship this thing before the end of the year because they wouldn't have time to do this. And I think some of them were afraid that, you know, what you don't want is a person with a list of compatible hardware over at Best Buy saying, okay, you know, I'm going to buy the one, you know, printer that I know works with Windows Vista and skip out on all the other printers. So I think this is a way to level the field a little bit.
That's just selfish.
Well, I mean, but for end users, you know, again, those are, you know, from my perspective, I install the thing, and on my two main machines now, the desktop PCs, Windows Vista detects and correctly installs drivers for all of the hardware that is plugged into those machines. But I've got a network attached printer, I've got a scanner. I'm looking around my office to see if I can find something else. I've got one MP3 player, and that, you know, don't work quite right, or at all in some cases, with Windows Vista. And presumably, those are the types of things that will be fixed over the next couple of months. So from sort of an end, you know, what they don't want is people calling in for support for something they know that is going to be fixed very quickly.
Yeah, that I understand. That makes sense. But to get back to my question, isn't there any loophole?
All right, so what you're asking is, how are you going to get it?
Yeah, basically, that's what I'm saying.
We can answer that question.
No, I don't want to. I know I can get it. But they're really, people listen to this podcast are Windows enthusiasts. They really are champing at the bit to get this thing. They've got RC2. RC2 is good for, through May or June, right? I mean, they can use this for a long time.
They can, but why would you if you could have the final version?
Right. I think it's just natural, and it's... Yeah. You know, I mean, that's life, but it's just, I know it's driving people crazy. They go, but it's done. I want it.
Right. So the one way you could do that would be to join MSDN. You could buy, the OS level version of MSDN. I want to say it's $600 a year.
Oh, but you get everything. It's really great.
Everything. And that stuff never expires. I mean, so you get product keys that could be installed, multiple times. You get get every version of Windows Vista that there is, and so forth.
Why don't pirates just do that?
Yeah. Well, because they're pirates, they don't want to pay.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. And of course, if Microsoft sees that one, they do keep track of them. If one of them is getting out, you're going to get that one shut down very quickly. Yeah, I used to be a full MSDN member, and that was great. You'd get these binders every month with just tons of stuff in it.
And the way the program works now is, you still get those binders, but, we're on the internet now, right? And we have high-speed connections. So within 7 days, they'll release this version of Windows Vista to MSDN, and actually the final version of Office as well. And people will be able to download it and install it themselves, a week from now. So that's not a bad... enticement for the program.
How big is the download? I mean, you're looking at a meter right now that tells you.
It's 2.2 gigabytes.
Holy
for the
cow.
32-bit version. X64 is actually bigger. It's about 3.5, I think.
Now, Steve, and again, this is a little bit tipping his hand because this is for next week's security now, but we're going to do a thing on Vista security. And one of the things he noted is that for true security, you're going to want to go with 64-bit Windows. Of course,
yep.
It's secure because it's incompatible, and you'll deal with all sorts of driver issues and application issues.
Yes,
but I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking forward. I want secure. I'm willing to put up with. I'm going to get a new machine just for this. Would you recommend buying a 64-bit machine and getting 64-bit Windows?
I would recommend evaluating that very carefully first, because again, you're completely ruining my review.
See, what I'm asking the questions people want to know. So your review is right on.
Okay, well, that's good news, I guess. For the short term, I would say for average people, 64-bit version is not going to be acceptable. And the problem is actually not hardware, it's software compatibility. There are so many software applications that just don't work correctly on the X64 version. And this is one of those areas where Microsoft really could have done a lot of work to make that a better experience, and they didn't. And I think it's going to artificially hamstring the 64-bit version for at least the next year or so. Now, that said, I think it would be worthwhile testing the X64 version against your... the software they use. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that if you get Windows Vista and you run through the app, the setup program, right? You boot off the DVD, it runs through setup. There's a point where you enter your product ID. And you don't actually have to enter a product ID. You can enter nothing. And if you do, you get to choose between all the different versions of Windows Vista. So you could actually evaluate a different version of Windows Vista for up to 30 days without having to activate it. And that's a good way to test things. So you could use that to install the 64-bit version and just see if it works.
Well, so they'll continue in future to offer that kind of a 30-day trial for both versions of Windows?
Yes.
All right. I guess they do that now, don't they? If you don't activate. Well, of course, you'd have to get the disk somewhere.
You would have to get the disk, right? So this, and they haven't announced, well, I should say, not to my knowledge. I know that on December 1st, Office 2007 trial version will be available for download for the public. And you would assume that they would do the same for Windows Vista at some point as well, because they're going to want people to get
excited.
Now's
the time, yeah. Well, also, you want to give people a chance to review it. And I know that's part of the reason business gets it now is because presumably they need to check it out.
Sure.
So I guess I'll just have to go out and join MSDN.
There you go.
There you go. other news, and actually this was kind of relevant because MSDN has a different license. They have changed the Vista licenses. They heard what people said.
They did.
About those restrictive licenses, and they've eased up.
Yes, they have. So all those people who complained that Microsoft was being a little draconian can now pull a Lech Walesa and declare victory, you know. So, last week, I think it was, they announced a change to the EULA. And basically, you know, it's funny, if you read it, I don't actually think it's any less vague than was the Windows XP license. But again, if we go with what Microsoft says, what they've essentially done is allowed people to move a single copy of Windows Vista from machine to machine indefinitely, as long as they promise to uninstall the previous installation. So the license now is literally the way that people said that the XP license was.
Which is great. So, and I think everybody's, you know, kind of understands that and can deal with that.
Absolutely. I mean, this is exactly what people were asking for. So for that small segment of the population that, you know, upgrades their hardware on a regular basis continually, they will have no problem moving that copy of Windows Vista along with the machine.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Nice.
So the tanks can move out of the square, and we are now free at last.
Yes.
If you want to read Paul's voluminous, extensive, the biggest thing he's ever written, Windows Vista review, it's online at the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. And by the way, highly recommend it, if for nothing else, for the very useful table of different versions and recommendations about which version is right for you and how to upgrade and all of that stuff. It's people are going to read this, Paul. I don't care if you've tipped your hand.
Okay.
They're going to read it. I'm going to make them read it. But this actually is really great. The information I've never seen anywhere else, and certainly never seen collated like this. So highly recommended.
It's awful putting it together.
But I can imagine the research involved. And your book, well, when will Windows Vista Secrets be coming out?
Sometime in January.
Right about when Vista does, I guess.
We just got the first, you know, PDFs back of the finished, you know, look. So we're actually going through that today.
That's great. Of course, yeah. I love Brian Livingston's Secrets series, and so I will absolutely have that on my shelf to complete my set. And you and Brian make a good team. But you did all the work, I know.
Wow. I'll never admit to that.
All my co-authors do all the work. I can tell you right now. I'm not going to speculate. The Road to Gold series, also great on Win Super Site, for the story of how this happened. And then the Windows Vista feature focus articles, which will be coming down the road, so that you can really see what is new in Windows Vista. And then somewhere hidden on the site, if you look at every single page, is that secret download link so you can get your copy of Vista today.
Right, but no product ID, so.
Oh, all right. No, I'm just kidding. That's not there. But I'm just trying to give you a little boost now that we've completely eviscerated your story.
No, there's always.
There's lots more.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely lots more. Well, Paul, I know you're tired. This has been a long week for you, and I'm really thrilled that we could finally say Vista ships. Of course, you can't get it for 2 more months, but at least it's somewhere.
Yep, it's somewhere.
Out of escrow, and some guy in a factory is saying, "Hey, look, Vinny, what's this? It says Vista on it. Wow, it's gold. Bernie, we got to keep this." All right, Paul Thurrott, thank you for joining us. Supersite for Windows is winsupersite.com. Windows IT Pro, of course, the great magazine Paul writes for. If you're interested in Vista security, make sure you tune in Security Now. In fact, next Thursday, a special edition of Security Now talking about Vista security issues. And, you know, if you're a Windows person, it's a must. It's a must listen to. And I guess that's about it. We've wrapped this guy up. Congratulations, by the way, on breaking 100,000 downloads again last time. The show is very popular. And I know...
Nothing to do with that, but thank you.
Oh, you had everything to do with that. And And by the way, of those $100,000, $42,000 came from the Microsoft campus. So,
of course,
we thank all of you for listening up there in Redmond.
Well, have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you next week on Windows Mixing.